There is one piece of this story that I have come to particularly love for no other reason than I saw a piece of art that brought it to life. It's a beautiful piece of art that's in Magdala, where Mary Magdalene is from, and it's huge. It's a huge piece of art that mostly is filled with feet. It's like the feet of the crowd around Jesus, and then it has one hand reaching out with a finger to touch the fringe of the cloak of Jesus. And it puts you right there, and it has a spark of light right where the finger makes contact with the fringe of the cloak of Jesus. I just love that story now from that picture. But there's a couple folks around here. I actually, none of them are here right now, but there are folks around here who have been floating an idea of a free little library sort of concept, except in the building, right? So there's one outside in the playground. I don't know if you all knew that. And we did one a few months ago. You remember that when we filled the hallways with books at the request of some of the youth here. But the idea would be to have like a one inside the building that's a little more substantial than one you can have outside, but would always be here. And that actually already happens on an informal basis among the card players. You know, there are card players who come here twice a week, and they bring in books because they're all at the stage of life, I hope I'm okay saying this, they're at the stage of life where they don't want to collect things anymore. And so they read a good book or they finish a good puzzle and they bring it in and they share it, which is great. That is how I ended up with a John Grisham novel, one of my favorite authors, the novel A Time for Mercy. Any of you have read that book? It's very engaging. The problem with getting this free book from here at Epiphany is that I got about 3/4 the way through the book, and then there were missing pages. I know, right? Yeah. But I was 3/4 the way in, so I was very committed to finding out how the story went. So then I had to go to, like, the actual library and pick up the book A Time for Mercy. Well, this morning, we are missing a few pages out of the story. We heard April read for us this morning one of the hardest books of the Bible. It's not too bad, this section, but just so you know, the prophet Hosea, have any of you read the whole book of the prophet Hosea? I don't know that I highly recommend it, to be honest. If you're going to read the whole Bible, by all means, include Hosea. But the whole 14 chapters of the book spends most of that time comparing God's chosen people, the chosen people of Israel, to an unfaithful spouse. In fact, it claims in the prophet Hosea that God's people have been whoring around and have not been faithful to God. The prophecy of Hosea was, in fact, written down along with much of what we now have in the Old Testament during the exile. It was written down in a time frame in which God's people were trying to make sense of the fact that they were both God's chosen people and somehow also they were forced to flee into exile. They were forcibly taken into exile in Babylon. In a foreign land, God's chosen people. How could God's chosen people seemingly be abandoned to such a fate? And so they pulled forward these ancient stories to make sense of how they could have ended up where they are now. And that included the book of the prophet Hosea. And here we have Hosea's take that it is because they have turned God's mercy into a privilege. You all know the concept of cheap grace from Bonhoeffer. Grace that is not something that when we work hard at doing what is right and good and fall short as we inevitably will, that is God's grace. But cheap grace says, well, why even try? Why even try to be faithful? Why try to do what is right? Why try to feed people who are hungry? God will forgive us. anyway? Hosea claims that their religiosity has become performative rather than transformative. But God desires love and mercy, not sacrifice, not religious posturing. God's people have missed some key elements of this whole covenant relationship. Actually, even as we read from the other Parvizian this morning, the Gospel of Matthew, did you notice there are also missing verses there? You may not have because it doesn't make it crystal clear, but it skips four verses in the middle. You should always be a little wary when that happens, by the way. There's bound to be something either very confusing or rather juicy hidden in those verses. And today it happens to be that the religious leaders continue to give Jesus a hard time, and there they give him a hard time because his disciples are not doing the religious things. In particular, they are not fasting. And then Jesus pushes back and says that they perhaps are focused on the wrong things. They should be focused on the Son of God and on openness to new ways of being faithful. We could spend, by the way, a whole hour of Bible study unpacking the four skipped verses in our gospel. But beyond missing those four verses in our gospel today, we are missing, all of us, whole pages in the story of life because none of us has a complete picture, ever. It's not possible for us to know it all, to know all life experiences. For there are life experiences that I, as a relatively privileged person, have no concept of. And the same goes for every one of us. For example, I think I sort of get the story of the parent who comes to Jesus with desperate hope, desperate belief that Jesus can somehow make his daughter, who has died, well, can make her live. I think I get that not because my own children have ever been in that place, thanks be to God, but because I have been able to accompany a dear friend whose baby was born with a heart defect. And so I was there in that hospital room in the desperation and in the gratitude for this little boy who is now in pre-K. So that I feel like I get. But as for the story of that woman in that favorite painting of mine, that woman who had been so sick, who had been bleeding for years and years, and was so desperate that she would crawl through a crowd of people to reach out and just touch the fringe of the cloak, I have never experienced such vulnerability myself. I know there are some among you who have. Who have been that close and that desperate for healing. I have come close by accompanying people on the brink of death and beyond, but I have never personally known that kind of vulnerability. Perhaps you have heard the quote, I know it is from Jesse Jackson, but apparently also Mother Teresa said it, and it's a famous quote. It says, "Never look down on someone unless you're reaching down to help them up." Our propensity to look down on anyone is always a reflection of our own ignorance, our own missing pages in the story. That is why I believe we see in the gospel story today that Jesus continues to gather around a table. He continues to eat with people, and not just with anyone, but people who are different from one another, people who have different stories, gathering with people of varying backgrounds, tax collectors and sinners, poor people and people poor in integrity. That is why I believe it matters that when we host loaves and fishes, especially when we host a meal at Loaves and Fishes, that we not just stand behind the food trays and serve the food, but that we actually sit down at table and listen to people's stories and share our own. The storytelling and listening matters as much as the meal itself. That is why I believe it matters that we have a meal. Every time we gather for worship, we have a meal where everyone is welcome. Even though you don't know each other's stories, you do not know your varying backgrounds, and yet you gather at one table to share one meal. And nearly as important, we so often have food after worship, where you are invited not just to take a brownie and go, though I understand that happens sometimes, but you are invited to take something to eat and then sit down in our beautiful parlor and share a story, hear a story, talk about life, and learn from one another. Then we all get to fill in the missing pages. There's a song, a quote, contemporary worship song, but it's now a few decades old, so I don't know how contemporary it is, but it's from the band DC Talk. Any of you remember the band DC Talk? Oh, gosh, so good. Anyway, the band DC Talk, in one of their songs called In the Light, some of the lyrics go, "What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior." None of us has it all figured out. And there are some smart people here, some wise people. But we all need the mercy of God. And God desires of all of us mercy for one another. May we experience God's mercy anew every time we have missing pages filled in. Every time we hear someone else's sacred story of love and loss, challenge and growth, may we find the healing touch of Jesus in community. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.